Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
I'm delighted to have Rebecca Liston with us today. Rebecca is an intuitive business coach who is part of the trifecta of Orange, Liston, and Do, which is a marketing and advising shop co-founded by a copywriter, Rebecca, and a business coach. So they serve coaches, healers, consultants, and brick and mortar business owners who want to build businesses that are one of a kind, sustainable, profitable, and satisfying. The trio offers a full range of proposal-based services, including strategic vision, writing, planning, and implementation support. So they're essentially they're a business incubator. They hold at this uncommon and rare place for their clients' business dreams to be seen, nurtured, and grown in community, which is beautiful. And that's part of the reason I wanted to have Rebecca on the show. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Emma.
One of the things that Rebecca and I were talking about a couple weeks ago was this pattern that we have both experienced as intuitive business coaches, where we will have entrepreneurs come to us who have coached with one or two or a handful of other business coaches. And those business coaches or mentors were really committed to the entrepreneurs doing business in a certain way, following a certain model, doing it, you know, essentially the way that the coach or mentor had done growing their own business. And it wasn't working for those entrepreneurs. In fact, not only was it not working, but those entrepreneurs were getting triggered. Because yes. They couldn't get this model that was supposed to work for them. And essentially, they went into a shutdown, a trauma response, and then came to us, each of us individually, for healing and permission to find ways to grow their own businesses that worked for them. So, Rebecca, can you talk a little bit about noticing that pattern and how you chose to start working with entrepreneurs that had traumatic experiences working with other coaches?
Thanks, Emma. And I think you've just explained it, that sort of phenomenon that we've witnessed. You've just explained it beautifully. So I'm sitting here thinking, what can I add to that description and how can I shed a little more light on it? You know, I always talked about, trauma, like I always talk about like people having like what I call the trauma cup, where, you know, like where you have a certain level of liquid in a cup and that's your, you know, everyone has had certain traumas in their lives and we have a little, our cup is a little bit full and then we add something to it and the cup gets more full and more full and more full. And so it's not necessarily that you and I are saying that people, you know, have some dramatic trauma in reaction to working with their coach. But what we're saying is you use that beautiful word trigger, wherein if we've ever had trauma in our history, right, that's still kind of impacting the way that we react to certain situations, sometimes the coaching experience, which is meant to be a nourishing and supportive and fabulous experience for a client, can actually end up triggering some responses, as you said, that are less than healthy. And I feel like, and I'm not sure, I'm curious to talk about what you've noticed too, but some of the things that I've really had noticed from clients who came out of those situations, and in a lot of ways, I was one of them myself, which, you know, I had those experiences myself and had to find someone, you know, to coach me in a different way, right? It's, you know, when we have that history, when we have a trauma history, we have things we're in, we've part of having that history means that we have often struggled with whether or not we can trust ourselves. And so when we find ourselves in an environment with a coach or a business mentor who is telling us what to do, it's difficult when you have a history to draw on your own inner sense of your own inner guidance, your own self-trust. It's just harder for trauma survivors to do that. And so I feel like sometimes that environment has set people up for lack of success, if you will, and actually kept them in that pattern of reactive decision-making and that whole, it's almost like an eddy. If you think about water, right? Like with the water's just swirling around and they're just not moving forward. Because they're caught in that reactivity and in that place and feeling unable to speak their truth or to find their own voice from within themselves and to trust their own instincts on things. And then often, you know, for people that I've worked with, when they would express their ideas of, well, actually, they might say to their mentor or their coach, this is what I would like to do, or I'd rather do it this way. It does, you know, that way doesn't feel good to me. There was, you know, again, for a speaking from the experiences my clients have had and I myself had, there was some shaming and blaming that went along with that. Well, no, you can't do it that way. That's not the way it's done. That doesn't make any sense. Where there was a hard sort of somewhat, I mean, looking at it, we know it's a hard defensive reaction from the coach themselves because the thing that this client was expressing was different than the model that they knew. They didn't know how to respond in a healthier way. So they said, no, that doesn't make sense. You can't do it that way. And then the clients that we're talking about are going to feel even more triggered. Well, okay, that's sort of speaking to their inner, already that inner feeling within themselves that maybe they don't know what they're talking about, and maybe they can't trust themselves, or they're, you know, those tapes that we play as survivors, you know, I'm stupid. I didn't know anything. I couldn't possibly figure this out by myself. You know, oh, I knew I could never do this. Like, it triggers off all of those responses within, and then we just meekly turn away and do what our coach tells us, even though it's not the right thing for us. And this pattern I have seen more times than I would like. I'm wondering if your experience has been the same as well, Emma.
Yeah, it's been the same, and it starts in the sales conversation, you know, for me when you're still a prospective client, because they will be, they'll show up very defensively and having any level of trust. And so I just started saying at the beginning of each of my sales calls, like, you and I are in this together. We're having a discovery conversation. I really want you to be listening for whether or not I am the right best mentor for you. And if I'm not, tell me that. Like, that's cool.
Love it.
I'd rather just know the truth. Because it gives full, I feel like that's what I need to hear. I need to know that the person I'm talking to is not just rolling with their agenda. They are letting me trust my intuition and trust myself.
And I do a similar setup as well, Emma. It's one of the things that, you know, I'm not surprised that we share that approach, right? Wherein when we're having those sales calls or those discovery sessions, the getting to know you sessions, it is really affirming for the client, the prospective client, that we are honoring the fact that they're in the driver's seat, right? This is a call that, yes, we're having. You may have booked it through my calendar, but you, prospective client, are driving the bus here, right? It's my job to listen to you, and we'll share and we'll discuss and we'll have this conversation. But at the end of the day, like, it's up to that person to make the choice, you know, and to identify, right, whether we can be the support for them. And even the way that we handle those sales calls is very different than what they have had in the past. I know I bet you've had that too, where even if the person chooses not to work with you, they might send you an email like 3 days, 3 weeks later that says, that was the most unusual sales call like I've ever had. I really didn't feel bullied into buying. I didn't feel pressure from you. And I really appreciated that. And, that in and of itself, that's a gift enough. Like, even if somebody didn't decide to work with me, but we at least had a positive sales conversation, I'm grateful for that, because they can be very triggering too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I find myself also taking exceptional care for the client to make the commitment to work with me. I always say in our first one-on-one coaching call, and I say this, of course, in my group coaching calls as well, I'll say everything that I'm going to share with you is in service to your highest self. That's my intention. Mm. So I might say some things that are hard to hear. I might make suggestions of actions that feel uncomfortable. And let me know how you're doing. Let me know if this resonates with you. If it's not working for you, let me know that, because I can't help you if you're not communicating with me. And there's nothing that you can say that's going to cause me to not love you and not want to show up for you.
Nice. I imagine there's quite a lovely response to that. And also, I imagine it's surprising to people, because again, that's not necessarily been their experience to date.
Right. Yeah. And I want to set that tone of healing and acceptance so that the person can feel safe with me, because if they don't feel safe, they're not going to have a great coaching experience. They're not going to get the results that they desire. They're not going to fall in love with their business. Like, none of that's going to happen.
None of that's going to happen. And it is about helping, you know, our clients, I feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm speaking for you as well. We want to support our clients to find their inner trust. And that often starts, that happens in parallel to trusting others, right? So it's important that there's a trust relationship between us as coaches and our clients to augment the growth and development of their own self-trust. Like, it's a two-way street. Like, it trust grows in, never in isolation, right? There's always several facets in which you're learning to trust again, right? Trust in yourself, trust in others. Like, it all happens simultaneously in this big sort of soup, right? And so in order to create, you know, in order to grow our self-trust, it's very helpful to be in relationship with others whom you can also trust.
Yes. Yeah. So, Rebecca, can you speak into how you start to reestablish patterns of trust with your clients who maybe have had a really triggering experience with their last coach or mentor?
I can, thank you. So my background is in homeopathic medicine. So my first career was in medicine, and homeopathic medicine in particular is very much designed to be the practitioner's job, really, is to create space for the client to speak in, like to speak and to share. And so I feel like I've taken that training, you know, and I use that very much in my coaching practice, in that I'm a question asker, and I feel like as a coach, in asking questions of our clients and eliciting from them their response and actually receiving their response, you know, not speaking over their response, like taking it in and asking clarifying questions and really wanting to understand what it is they're saying. To me, that right there is one way in which trust can be built with someone who's had perhaps a less than positive experience with someone else, because they are not used to being heard, or they're not used to someone actually wanting to understand what it is they're doing. Their experience has been, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm just going to tell you what I know to tell you. And, you know, you're just going to do it. So to be able to be the person who's asking questions and sitting in inquiry to really get at what's really going on for my client, I think that's one of the best ways. It's what, you know, one of the primary ways that I like to kind of establish that relationship of, well, you know what, again, like I said earlier, like you're driving the bus here, right? And it's my job to understand it. And then, you know, we dance together, right? I always see my relationships with clients as a dance. You know, sometimes they're leading, sometimes I'm leading, but we are moving together, right? It's a partnership. And I think that's also a very important thing, right? I am not the type of person in my work, and I never have been, that's just like, you know, come on, let's go, let's do this, like race harder, push harder, do more, you know, be more, blah, blah, blah. You know, like that's just not my way. My way is always, okay, how are you? Do you feel like you want to sprint right now? Okay, let's sprint, right? Do you feel like you need to have a break? Okay, let's have a break. Like just checking and helping and guiding each person to also establish that self-trust, as we were talking about, I think is also a critical element.
Yes,
I'm hoping that answers
absolutely.
Your question.
No, it totally does. And it reminds me of an interview that I did with Stephanie Sinclair, and she's a multi-seven-figure business marketing coach. And she talked about how she was in that pushing, driving, hustling energy until she reached seven figures. And at that point, she got burnt out. Her body shut down. She had to have emergency surgery. She resented her business. She hated her clients. Like, she hated having sales conversations. And I said, you know, what would have happened if maybe you had kind of figured out earlier on that that pushing, driving, hustling wasn't working for you? And she said, yeah, I would not have had to literally rebuild an entire empire from the ground up.
Yes, ma'am. I have heard those stories, and I have worked with clients in those situations, as I'm sure you have, Emma. And I've always, you know, again, you know, if I could kind of wave my magic wand, I would catch people before that happened, right? Because it's true. I mean, to have to go back and then rebuild what you created because suddenly you're looking at it and going, what the F is this? And I'm tired and my body is worn out and I'm not even really liking it. Like, I don't even really like what I've done here.
It's right.
It's not a delightful place to find yourself, right? Like, just, it can't be, obviously. It's got to be tough, really has to be tough. So, I mean, it'd be lovely to find people before they get there, right? To say, let's start building from that place first, right?
Right.
Yeah, if I could wave my magic wand, that's where we would catch people personally. That's what I think.
Well, and part of what she was saying was, my intuition is saying this is not the right way to grow a business, but I don't see any models out there for building an empire.
What is the other way?
Right.
Yes.
For
what,
building
what
an empire
the
with ease and grace. Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you're so right. So true. If there's no other model, if you see no other option, right? If all you are is surrounded by the push, push, hustle, move, shove, go. And that's the only thing that you see, then, and if that's the only way that you think anyone survives, quote unquote, or builds this empire, that's the only way to do it, then you figure that's what you got to do because you don't know a different way. And unfortunately, like that's the thing is that when many coaches have been taught that way by their coach, then that's also the only way that they know. And therefore, that's the only way that they also can teach. And I think, I don't know if you found this, but I certainly did. One of the greatest gifts of really honing my skills and studying and learning to use my intuition and do, you know, intuitive work with businesses and the owners is that I realized it's not up to me to have the answers, right? Like my brain does not have to come up with a solution to every potential problem. We can track things intuitively. We can come up with solutions that we couldn't even have dreamt of in our mental minds, couldn't have conceived of. We can find ways to do things differently because we're taking ourselves out of, not just out of anybody's model, but also out of, you know, out of any ways that we might only think in our brains, right? And we can find other ideas and other solutions to things. And I think that is also just such a gift because we can create models. I don't have to know all the models because we can figure them out from an intuitive creative process, right? There's such freedom in that for me as a coach to know that I don't have to have all the answers. It's not my job. And I like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And Rebecca, one of the reasons I wanted to have you in this podcast series is because you and I both support our clients in leading with their soul in their business, right? And you and I are both willing to set aside our own brains and really help our clients tune into what their soul longs for with marketing or sales or products and services or whatever. And I want to see more of that in the coaching industry. That is the direction that we need to be moving in.
Yes, could not agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. And, you know, I see it, you know, shifting. It's slow to come, but every once in a while you hear the story of someone like you were talking about, I believe you said her name was Stephanie, like someone who speaks about building this really huge business and then going, oh shit, like, you know, what have I done? What do I do now? Because I don't even like this and I don't feel very good. You know, we're hearing those stories come out a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think that there's a lot of value. I think it's hard for people to tell that truth. So bravo to her, because it's a big deal to say that out loud. But I think we're hearing it a little more now. And so I'm excited to see the pendulum swing. There's, you know, I always like to talk about the swing of a pendulum. We just have to find that lovely middle ground wherein there are days to drive forward because it feels in our body like this is a good time to drive. I'm going to work hard today. Like I am going to get a lot done and I'm going to be, you know, because I'm feeling good and I'm feeling it and I want to go for this and I'm going to do it. And tomorrow I'll rest because tomorrow and the next day comes and I'm in my more creative juices. And so I'm going to write today, and just following those rhythms within ourselves and noting that there's a time for both, and that in valuing the time for both forms of that, you know, the quiet and then the forging ahead, and then the quiet and the integration and then the forging ahead again, like just finding balance within that is so much healthier for us as human beings. And to build a sustainable business, I believe that that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. So I'm going to put you on the spot. What would you say to someone listening to this episode who's stuck in that pushing, driving, hustling energy, who has had success? You know, maybe they're at six figures, multi-six figures, scaling to seven, and it's worked for them so far, but they're burnt out, they're exhausted, and they are desperately afraid of letting go of being on all the time and making things happen because it's the only reality they know that works.
How true is that, right? Wow. As you're telling that story, I can feel it in my body, that absolute, like I'm actually having a physical reaction to what you're saying, because I'm feeling that it's not just a fear of letting go of the reins. It's a terror. Like, it's like, if I let go, if I drop the reins, if I don't keep pushing and driving forward, this whole friggin' thing could fall apart. And then what, right? That's that, the emotional charge around that is huge. So what would I say to someone? I think what I would say is, I mean, and this is going to sound maybe corny and slightly cliche, but I do believe that I'm not the sort of person who typically goes around and quotes the Bible, but let's just think about that lovely verse that talks about the fact that there's a time for everything, a time to reap and a time to sow. You know, I feel like it's important for people to look and say to themselves, okay, hold on a minute. There are rhythms to everything in this world, our seasons, our sleep, the way that we eat, the phases of the moon. And there are times to shine bright and there are times when it is dark. And that's just our reality. That's nature. That's how our whole world is created. And it continues to move on. Like the sun, the moon, you know, waxes and the moon wanes and still the moon rises, right? So I think I would somehow find a story to tell that person that would make sense and hit home for them. And whether it's the phases of the moon or the, you know, the tides of the ocean, like something that would suit for them to get them to see that there's an ebb and the flow, and that is nature's balance. And when we see that ebb and flow around us in every single thing, and yet that thing still keeps going on, whether it's, you know, even when it's an ebb, you know, the tide still rises again, the moon still comes up, the sun sets and rises again the next morning, to really see that if that is true for all of those things, that, you know, the plant dies and then it is born again, the perennial comes back again in the spring. If we can accept that that is actually nature's way, then how could it not be true for us? How could it not be true? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I would probably do, is try to find a story or an example or something to kind of illustrate to that person, like, look, like it happens everywhere. and all of these things still move forward. The plants still grow, the trees still grow, the sun still rises. So if it's true for them and all of those things, then it will be true for you and your business as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that analogy. Rebecca, are you willing to speak into your own journey? Because I think you had said something about having the experience of working with a coach or mentor that wanted you to build your business in a certain way and realizing that it wasn't working for you and you needed to take a different direction.
Yes, thanks. Emma, you know, it's really interesting because I actually got so far lost in the whole thing that I actually thought I was going to quit coaching. Like it was, I talk about, you know, 2013 is the year I kind of contemplated divorcing my business because I felt so disillusioned with the way that I was being taught to run the business. It felt, even though at that time I was being told by my coach that she had built the business that she had built on a part-time basis, when we saw the amount of work going on behind the scenes and how many people she hired to run things and do things, the numbers were not there to support it. She may have only been working 24 hours a week, although I have to admit, I highly doubt that that was actually true. I don't want to ever say that somebody wasn't telling the truth, but I find it hard to believe, given the vastness of all the stuff that was occurring in the business at that time. So therefore, she would have had team members doing all of that work. And it really hit me when I looked at the things and I realized it just didn't add up. Maybe she was making $1 million, but she was spending at least that because it just didn't make sense to me, right? Like on one hand saying, well, yeah, I only work, you know, this much time, but I don't think there was any money being made because it was all going out to team to run this business that she was only working in herself 24 hours a week at. So I just couldn't wrap my head around it and it didn't make any sense. And I watched in that same sort of time that we were together, we were in an in-person, you know, event. And I was watching all of that unfold. And then, and I'll never forget it, this woman that I didn't know well, she got up to have like, you know, they sometimes call them like hot seats or like, you know, where the coach basically works with you in front of the group. And this woman sat up there and she said, you know, I've built this business for the last, I don't know, whatever, X number of years, 3 or 4 years. And she said, and I like coaching, but I realized, she said, the thing that I love the most is I love helping my clients create their events. Like I love, you know, like talking to them about what color napkins they're going to get and like what kind of food they're going to serve and their venue and the flowers and the this and the that. And she's like, I think I'd really like, I would love to transition my business into like event planning for coaches, like helping them put on their events because I love it. And I watched that coach tell her no, that it was not a viable business model, that there was no way that she was going to make money doing that, that no one was going to pay her to do it. And by the time she got off that stage 20 minutes later, she had instead in her hand revised packages for one-on-one and group coaching. And I thought I was going to throw up. And I'll never forget, even talking about it now, I'm still getting emotional about it. That woman in particular may not even remember that event, but I remember it because I remember feeling like her dream just got stomped on. And that's when I thought to myself, well, if this is what business coaching is, I don't want any frigging part of it. Like I'm out. And so for a while there that year, you know, if anybody said to me, oh, well, you're a business coach, I was like, hell no, I'm not. Like, don't even say the C word to me. Like, it became like this thing. Like, I was so angry and upset with what I was seeing happening around me in the industry, and I couldn't stomach it. I thought, that's it. I can't do this work because if this is the way it's meant to be, like, I'm not friggin' doing that. And that, thankfully, as I think I have told you in our conversation, Emma, thankfully at that time, as these things sometimes happen, the woman that I had done training with in medical intuition many years prior was testing out the waters and doing training in different types of intuition. And she had developed a course in business intuition. And I went, maybe that's what I need to do. And sure enough, I took that course and then transitioned to my own practice. I mean, I still consider myself a coach. I mean, I'm still very supportive of my clients in that coaching way,
but I'm not coaching in the way that I was taught to coach, which was basically not coaching, but instead telling people what to do. So that was my, you know, kind of experience of it. And yeah, it's still hard to talk about, to be honest with you. Like, I still carry a lot of that, and I'm not proud necessarily of my roots in the coaching industry because of what I was taught and the way that I even handled my own clients. Because of course, before I realized that, you know, before I had these epiphany moments of, oh my God, I don't want to do this, this isn't right, I had done it. I had told people what to do. I had told them to follow this model. I had been that person, right? I had been that coach. And it just sort of crashed all around me. And I realized I can't do that. It goes against every fiber of my being. And I'm trying to make it work. Of course, it wasn't working. You're not surprised there. And that's where I found myself. So that was kind of my, like come to Jesus moment, as they sometimes call it, where I had to realize, like, I have to make a change here. I have to do something differently, or I can't do this work. And found a different way.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that story, because it was such a pivotal moment for you where you had to essentially redefine yourself as you're a business intuitive,
yeah,
but in how you engage with your people. So
yes,
what helped you return to leading with your intuition in your own business?
Yeah, it's so funny because you're absolutely right. It was a return. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I just finished telling you that I'd been a homeopathic physician for years, which is so guided on intuition. So why I turned away from that again, the pendulum swinging thing, right? I think, you know, it was a return to using intuition. It was a coming back to myself. I had trained in medical intuition 20 years before. So, you know, that sort of intuitive work, channeling, anything like that had been my nature. And I believe I went against that nature because I believed that where I was told or I was taught, or it's what I read, it's what I gathered, that that was the way to build business, that business wasn't built using intuition. And thankfully, as you did, and we've discovered that that's just not true, right? We found that other model. We created another model, another way. And thank goodness for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And have you, you know, I talk about how when you follow your intuition, when you're aligned with your soul, there's more ease and grace in your business. You don't have to work as hard. You're not in that energy of having to be on all the time in your business.
Yeah.
And there's often like a disconnect for people who are taught that you have to take action, take a lot of action in order to get more results in your business. Can you, or are you able to speak into that for someone who's feeling like, yeah, hypothetically, that sounds great, but I don't see how that could actually happen?
Well, it's a great question, because I have come up against this where, you know, again, wherein I'm working with a client and I'm trying to encourage them to, you know, consider another way, right? Like, okay, what if you didn't work till 10 o'clock at night? Like, what if you actually stopped working at 4 o'clock, right? And there is, right, it is a mindset shift that needs to happen. There's a lot of like deprogramming ultimately. And I guess all I can say is what I say to people, you know, I try to talk about the proof being in the pudding, if you will. Like, you've tried it your way, right? And how's that working for you? And so try it this other way and let's see, right? Like, sometimes it is really about experiencing it, right? And going, okay, wow, geez, I really feel good. That was 3 months. In the last 3 months, you know, I worked 3 weeks and I took 1 week off for myself. And then I worked 3 weeks and I took a week off for myself. And I didn't think there was any way that I could possibly be, you know, efficient and effective with my time and that there would possibly be growth. But, you know, I got new clients, or I did this, or I was asked for 3 new speaking gigs and I was on the boat for an entire week, you know, like,
I do think sometimes the proof is in the pudding, and it is a sense of just using that trust that we have with our client to gently suggest and guide and support them to try something different and to see that actually it is possible. And in fact, it's more than just possible, it's probable, right? It's probable that success will actually be deeper, richer, truer than it would be any other way. And again, more sustainable, one of my favorite words. So I think it's about encouraging people just to try a different way, to see what you think, right? Get back to me, like, let's try it. And I've never had anybody come back and say that they've had an experience that was other than, you know, successful with it in terms of feeling really good about the choices. Tricky at first, right? It is like a reprogramming, but the result is well worth it.
Well, and let's talk about, and I love that your clients have that experience. Let's talk about the vortex of fear that entrepreneurs can get into when they've got to change the way that they're doing business. And there's often this gap. You know, you've been doing business a certain way. It's gotten you a certain level of success, but it stopped working. Like, your sales have stagnated. You're becoming resentful of the business. All of that, you're like questioning your capacity as an entrepreneur. You're starting to feel like a fraud. You're feeling like you could lose it all in any moment.
Oh, yeah.
You want to shift to a different way of doing your business. But there's often a lag, right? Because we're spiritual beings living in this human reality. And sometimes it can take a couple, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks for our desire to do things differently to be made manifest in the physical reality.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And a lot of people can go into massive fear around that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I lived that because that was exactly the experience that I had wherein, like, everything dried up. Like, I thought, oh, my God, like, I'm going to have to go get a job at the grocery store. Like, because in transitioning energetically, like, you're just the way that you had done things is coming to an end. You know that it's going to come to an end. You can't keep it up anymore. You're already, you know, in this sort of position of barely hanging on by a thread. And so it's already starting to crumble. It's an awful thing. It's an awful feeling. And there is this sort of dying off that does occur before it starts to pick back up again with the new changes and the new ways of approaching things. So I find that the best way to manage that is to just let everyone know that it's normal. Like, this is normal. We can expect this. And so I'll often, that's even a bit of a preamble for me, like, before we make all these changes, right? Like, recognize that in making a huge transition, that energy output that you've put out before, right? It's run its course. So there is going to be, right, a quiet time. The fields are going to lay fallow, if you will. That's the way it's going to be. And then you've got to allow this new energy, this new shift, this new way of doing and being in your business to take hold. And to then, you know, bring you, like, to get to actually see the rewards of that. So I do tend to, you know, what's the word when you tell something? You know, we say it up front, like front load, right? Front load the decisions around this with that realization. And I will normalize it by saying I have never not seen that happen to some degree. And so then I also like to give lots of suggestions to, you know, what do you do during that time then in order to keep that panic at bay, right? What do you do? And the other thing that I would point out, because I think this is helpful too, Emma, quickly I'll say this, is that I also tell my clients that, remember, like, this transition that you're happening, that's happening in your business right now, is one of many potential transitions in your business. So I'm a huge advocate for saving money because I've transitioned in my business many times, and I learned very quickly that it's important to have a little nest egg. And so I actually save money in a transition fund, knowing that someday my business is going to transition again. It'd be nice to have some money saved to get me through that time. So that's an important thing for preventative maintenance, if you will, down the road. But in those moments of fear, I think it's important to coach my clients to stay, you know, as I would anybody, to avoid that panic. how to stay centered, stay grounded. What can you do for you in this time? What's settling for you? Do you, you know, is it walking your dog? Is it climbing, you know, is it climbing a mountain? Is it going to the ocean? Like, what can you do to keep yourself breathing, you know, centered, and just waiting out that. Basically, that's what you're doing. You're waiting it out. You're waiting out the transition and waiting out the shift, knowing and trusting that you'll come out okay on the other side. And so it's at that point, it's less coaching. And in many ways, it's more like counseling, really, depending on the person and what their response is in helping to counsel or coach them through the experience of that fear, because it's real. It's real.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved that you lifted up that your business is always going to have transition periods, because our business is a platform for our own spiritual evolution. And in my language,
yes, ma'am.
And the more we evolve, the more the business needs to transition alongside that. And there are a lot of entrepreneurs who think, oh, when I get to six figures, when I get to half million, when I get to seven figures, then I won't have to worry anymore. Then I won't have to reinvent myself anymore. Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly.
Nope.
Never going to happen. You'll never
reach the plateau.
Right.
No, exactly. So I think it's good to be prepared for that. So tuck away a little money for the next transition, which might be 17 years down the road. We don't know, but it's pretty much inevitable. Right. And you know, also the thing is that those sorts of transitions don't have to be massive. Sometimes they're just little shifts, but they can cause ripple effects. And so having some money tucked away just helps, you know, certainly not, doesn't mean that you're going to transition into an entirely different line of work or something like that. It just could simply mean, right, that you're going to change something slightly or start taking even more time off or who knows what. And it can have an impact as well.
Yeah. And the more best to be prepared.
Yes.
Not only with the transition account, but cultivating and nurturing your intuition, working with your fear and resistance, like the more you practice all of those things, the better prepared you are for the transition.
Exactly. Yep. Best.
Cool.
The more you go through it, the easier it is every time.
Right. Right. So, Rebecca, how can folks learn more about you?
Oh, thank you, Emma. Probably just easy enough to go to my website, and it's just my name, RebeccaListon.com. So it's RebeccaListon.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Emma. As you can tell, this is a topic near and dear to my heart. So it's been a real gift to be able to talk to you about it. So thank you.
Oh, wonderful.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.